Hello, welcome to Life in Brown. My name is Motorayo. Today's episode is with Adebosola Ikoko. She is a fashion entrepreneur and the CEO of Grapes Pattern Bank, a surface pattern design company that's designed prints for brands including Kai Collective, Rendell and Kemi Telford. She shared what it's been like running a fashion business in Lagos and great tips for anyone starting a business in this episode. Bosola and I were in the same class in secondary school in Nigeria. Before we spoke, I was thinking about how my classmates and I weren't aware of many creative career options like surface pattern design. Many of us wanted to be accountants, lawyers, or doctors. No one mentioned wanting to be a surface pattern designer, and I think that's because we're not just aware of those kind of opportunities at the time. Bosola originally wanted to study fashion design after secondary school, but her parents weren't keen.
I remember when I first told my mom that I was going to do fashion design. She said, no, I cannot afford to still be feeding you and your family. And I was just like, there's money in fashion. But I mean, I understood their fear. But the deal we made was that I would do human resource management. Not that we won't do human resource management. That I would go to university and not study fashion. So I opened like that jam notebook. They had literally all the courses. And my goal was pick the easiest course to do. Nothing that had math, nothing that had anything with numbers, accounting. So I was just like, if I'm going to this university, it has to be so thin. Let me just go and come out. And then the deal was I'll do that. And then whatever it is I want to do after fashion, whatever it is, see it through with me. And I started looking, and I won't say like human resource was easy, but for me, it didn't have to. I still ended up doing accounting and all of that, but it didn't have a lot of numbers.
After completing her degree in human resource management, Bosola went to Leeds Arts University in the UK to complete a foundation course, where she studied modules on fashion design, fine arts, and graphic design. At the end of her first year, she had to choose what pathway she wanted to specialize in.
I think she was graphic design. And then, I guess because I didn't have like all the information on fashion, I just felt like I needed to know how to sew to be able to go into fashion. But then I think I had the 3 months in graphic design class and realized it wasn't really for me. And then I spoke to a tutor who told me that fashion design is very broad. There's surface pattern design, there's fashion design, there's visual merchandising, there's fashion buying. It was just a lot. So I was like, let me go into fashion design because it's pretty much what I always wanted to do.
While completing one of her assignments, she became more interested in surface pattern design.
So basically, we had a brief, and the way I interpreted it was making a print, basically. And then I kid you not that I didn't even know what surface pattern design was. I did not know anything. And then I just designed a print, and then it was in front of me. The head of my department came in, and then she just went like, wow, no, who did this? And I was just there like, I'm the one who do it. No, like, what's this special? You know? Do you get what I mean? And then she went, and then she came back with like a bunch of other people and were looking. And I was just like, it cannot be this work. And then she had a talk with me about how I should look into surface pattern design. And it's something that she thinks I have, I should pursue, blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, okay. They started researching it. They're researching like surface pattern designers in Nigeria. And the only names that came up for me were two names, was Banke Pupu and, Eva Shinaike. But I think at the time they're both based in UK or something like that. I don't know. But yeah. So towards the end of my course, I was faced with like, should I remain in UK? As this is not something that we Nigerians do. Should I remain in UK? And you know, enter the huge market. Or should I go back home and then, you know, be the first or one of the few people to like break barriers and form a whole industry and all of that? And then, I mean, I guess UK government made my mind up for me because my visa was expiring. And then I came back to Nigeria. And no, it was the toughest time ever.
What made it tough? What made it tough?
Oh, Lord. So it wasn't even that I was starting a new business in Nigeria, which is already tough. It was that I was starting a business that nobody knew about. Nobody knew existed. Nobody knew they needed it or nobody knew the value for it, basically. So it was me starting a new business, educating people. It was just tough because even till now, I still always had to explain to people what I do. So when I say surface pattern design, oh, what's that? And then I always had to explain it. And like, it's not like accounting or medicine where once you see a doctor, you understand it, you know that you need it. It's something that I need to let people know. I need them to understand the value that it brings to their brand, basically. And then, once people don't understand the value, they don't want to drop money. You get it. It was just tough. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but I'm just happy that I went through that. And then I knew I had to, like, work under somebody. Even though I couldn't find anybody that did surface pattern design to work under, I had to work under someone that did fashion design. And even still, I mean, the same values or the same laws still apply with starting a business. You understand? You go through the first period where you're not making profit. You have to learn self-control. You have to build your structure. So all of those things are the same, regardless of whatever industry you're in, which really helped me. And I worked on that a very wonderful, like a wonderful lady. So yeah, that helped me.
Pasola learned a lot working at this fashion company before she decided to leave to focus on her business. But she faced some challenges.
I'm just having flashbacks of all the people that told me this will not work. Your prints are not sellable. And instead of starting your own, come and work for me. You know what I mean? Offer me for small money. She gets. But the thing I had, I already knew exactly what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to offer something exclusive because the one issue I saw with our fashion industry was the fact that even brands that were walking the runway, like, what do you call them? High street brands, is that what they call them? Like, they were all sharing the same prints with brands that were selling clothes on Instagram, like 15K clothes. And then you're using the same print, same fabric, and then you're selling for like 150, 200, you get. Like, it did not make sense. And I knew, I mean, that was obviously not what they wanted, but that was the situation on ground. And then my thing was to serve those people and offer them something exclusive and also give them the opportunity to design something that passes their message across. Because I know with fashion designers, they always have like stories that inspire their collection of years. So the goal was to help them to pass their message across using print and also fabric. So I attended a bunch of textile fairs in UK. I got sort of contact, and then it was I think the main issue I had was wet print. So I started looking for wet print because I was thinking my thing was, let me do the whole made in Nigeria start to finish. But that wasn't successful because one, we didn't even have factories that were printing digitally. And then even when I was like, okay, let me just bring my standard down a bit and do like the wax printing or the Ankara printing. Like I wasn't, because the main thing for my business was selling exclusivity. There was this company that I met the manager and he literally just told me, if the prints are successful and they sell, we're going to print our own and sell with under our name. So I was just like, okay, that's a no-no for me. And then, so I was just like, you know what? And this took me a whole year. And at the end of 2017, I was like, you know what? I'm going to start looking outside Nigeria to print. And I found a place, a factory. I had somebody somewhere go to the factory to make sure it was legit. I spoke to them. They sent me all the fabrics they had. And then with all the fabrics that contact had built up over the years of attending textile print, I was able to like get basically like a bunch of fabrics to offer variety to my clients.
Basala was ready to go. She had fabrics to offer her clients. She made some mistakes along the way that I think a lot of us can learn from.
I know that one mistake I made continuously that I had to, you know, like literally beat myself and be like, come on. So, you know, I always have, when you're starting a business, like don't be about the money. Like just be about providing the best service possible, basically. And then the money will come. But then like, it's honestly tough to do that because you're broke. You need to eat. Like you need to pay bills. So like, and then in the beginning, when like one person would only reach out to me in like 6 months. So like literally I had like my terms and conditions. But because I was desperate, I would always like bend a bit. And then every time I bent to accommodate the clients, it always came back to bite me in the ass, literally. And then most times what happens is that I now lose money. And then it's just not worth it. And I think I made that mistake several times. I was just like, no, no, no. Because I know that I put these terms and conditions in place to protect myself and also the clients and make sure that we have a peaceful relationship. And so that's why now when clients come to me and say, no, let's do this instead. Sometimes I honestly cannot remember why I put that certain rule in place. But I know I have put it in place and that's what it is going to be. Do you get? Because then sometimes when they'll say, oh, can I do this instead? And I'm thinking to myself, oh, they can actually do it. But I'm like, no. Even though off the top of my head, I can't remember why exactly I put this in place. But no, that I put it in place means that it's basically there to protect me. Yeah. So I know I did that a lot. I compromised because I was desperate and like I needed money, basically. So now we don't do that. Oh, we don't do that. I'd rather like I didn't even work with you. I know that I'm good. My name is still intact. My reputation is still intact. Yeah.
I've often wondered how businesses like us price their services. Like, do they charge one-off or do they get like commission depending on how successful the business is with the prints that she's designed for them? So I asked about this.
So we have prices for designing the print, and then we have prices for printing of fabric. So they're two separate things. Like when I started, I was selling for $25,000. Like, I can't believe that was where I started from, basically. So I always tell people, because I've had like a lot of trainings or whatever, or work, what they call
practices.
Yeah. Or where number one question people ask is, how do you charge? And in, honestly, it's hard to charge, because when I went online to reset, lots of people charge per hour. So they say like, I'll charge maybe $6 or $15 or $100 per hour. And then the number of hours you spend on that times that, that's how much they charge you. But then like, I knew that that would not work for me. Because honestly, there are some times when I do not explain how I design prints, to be honest. Like, especially when I'm stressed. And then the idea is not coming. And this is a very unhealthy habit. And that's why I'm currently on my weight loss journey. When I'm stressed, I go out and I'll just buy ice cream, I'll buy chocolate, I'll buy pizza, I'll buy coke, I'll sit down with a good movie, I'll sleep, go for massage. Like, do you understand? And then literally, the idea will come. And then, honestly, in like less than an hour, I'll design something really amazing. Like, I'll just sketch something and then take my time to develop it. So, I charge based on, I mean, we charge $600 for free. The difference between Grace Pattern Bank charging at $45,000 and Grace Pattern Bank now charging $600 is we've evolved. We're better because with my staff, we do trainings, design training regularly. We do customer service trainings beginning of every year. The design training, we try to do that twice a year because it's important that we keep developing our skills. And then with design, there's always one new program or something that is coming up, and then we always have to keep up. Like, so we do all of that, and then our skills are getting better, our customer service is getting better, we have structure in place, we have obviously inflation that has occurred.
Basola mentioned how she supports her staff with training and development, and I'm aware of the challenges businesses face when recruiting staff, particularly in a niche like surface pattern design. So I asked Basola about her experience recruiting staff for her business in Lagos.
So because there are not many people doing it, and then every time I'll say we're looking for a designer, we start getting portfolios. And honestly, it was like people thought it was a joke. The portfolios were hilarious. But then I understand that not many people are doing it. So I was looking out for people that I could train. And the first person I had, she still works with me. And honestly, she's very good. She's honestly very good because we've gone through a lot of trainings, even with myself and then external bodies. Like, yeah.
Running a business comes with highs and lows. So I asked Basola what her favorite thing was about running Grace Pattern Bank.
When clients post on Instagram or they send me pictures of dresses like when the final product is ready. I love it. I love when they message me, and I have lots of clients that message me on WhatsApp. They just send me the picture. Oh, you know, those days when they sent me, like, nothing can bring me down. I'm on cloud nine. You can't tell me nothing. I did that. And then I literally, and then when it's on Instagram, I read all the comments, everything. And I go on their website to keep up, like, why is it not sold out yet? Why is that? Like, I love it. And then I start, like, every time I see the Gaia print, that's the one I did for, he designed for Kai Collective, I always remember, I remember exactly how I was feeling, what I was doing, what I was wearing when I was designing that print. And then the same with a lot of other prints too. I remember exactly if I was upset, if I was happy, if I was feeling sick. Literally, when I see the print, everything comes back.
Bosola shared some advice on building a fashion business. And I think this advice can apply to businesses in other fields.
I would advise that to make sure it's a passion. Like, they're not just doing it for the money, because the money will not come like that too. It didn't just come like that. Like, you first wait, you first work. And then with creative work, like, your pieces advertise themselves, basically. Like, people see if they like it, they come back. Yes. And I think just to remember that when you're, especially for those that are starting it, turning into a business or starting their own brand, it's not just enough for you to know the design. Like, there are other aspects to the business, which is like the managing people, managing your staff, managing your clients. That's huge, because you're working with, oh Lord, you're going to work with different personalities. I had lunch with my staff yesterday, because we started our green pattern bank reset yesterday. So it's basically, it's an annual thing that we've started just for them to like reset, basically, for them to breathe. So they have, I know yesterday they visited some gallery. So today by 4, they have a spa session. So they're going to have like a massage and stuff to relax themselves.
I wish you were and my then, employer.
And then tomorrow they're going to Landmark Beach to do some water sports or whatever. But I'm showing them, please, because they can't swim. And I'm like, you need to be careful. But I think treat people the way you would like to be treated if you are working for somebody. To be very honest, as if you plan on starting your own business.
Learning from her staff is very important to Bosola, so she makes time to get feedback from them.
One thing I like to do is to hear from their own side. So I always ask them, like, what do you expect from Grapes Pattern Bank? Like, and honestly, whatever it is they say, I try to, like, put it on my to-do list. Like, these are the things in the next 5 years, this is what they expect. I mean, I'm not a huge brand, you get what? I mean, that's where I aspire to be. So I understand that I need feedback from them as much as they need feedback from me. So, I mean, you're starting a brand, like, you need to understand people. You cannot just sit up there and say, oh, you are the boss. You get, like, you need to understand people, manage people well, and just be patient. And I think the main thing is just to make sure that it's your passion, because, and God has called you to it, because it's not easy. But the money will come. I think just focus on building, making sure that your service is solid, and then always developing yourself to make sure that you're offering something special and something different. Yes.
Client relationships are important in running a business, and Bosola prioritizes this.
Because, I mean, even clients have been like, oh, your price is so expensive. They've come back. And it's not just the work. It's just, I try to, even though we're still professional, I try to add that very personal touch to it. So, like, I would always check up on them. Like, especially for my clients that always come back, I know when they're going to reach out to me. So if you don't reach out to me at that point, I would always, like, message, call, have fun now. You know how to, let's start doing this.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Life in Brown. Please tell a friend about the show so more people can discover it, and it really helps the podcast grow. If you've enjoyed this episode, please check out The Last Word, or Balancing Creative Interests Alongside Your Day Job. This episode was hosted, edited, and produced by me, Motorayo.
Say bye.
Bye.
Ma.
Ma. Nah.